Gotham, a crazy podcast about DC, with your host E-Rock and PD. When we speak up, get your geeks up, cause you know you about to get geeked up. So sit back, relax, and get comfy. Lose your mind like Solomon Grundy, and listen to a show that won't be forgotten, coming straight out of Gotham.
Welcome to another fabulous edition of Straight Outta Gotham. I'm Peter Vera, one of your co-hosts, and I'd like to introduce the co-host of the year, Long Island's finest, Eric Holzman.
Hello there, Pete. How you been?
I'm hanging out here with my friend Bourbon. Another fine Corona Sunday. Today is May 17th.
Yes.
And we are in the midst of the corona pandemic, staying occupied, staying sane, staying classy, San Diego.
Yes. Yes. All of those things. All of those things. And this is episode 3 of Straight Out of Gotham. Straight Out of Gotham is a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network. Just want to put that out there so everyone knows we are part of the family. Pete, we started out with 2 quick episodes, and then we haven't recorded in a few weeks, and the public has been screaming. They want us back. So here we are. Yes, back by popular demand. Here we are. And we have a good show for you guys tonight. We also have a special guest who will be introduced in a little while. But Pete, you recently had a birthday.
I did.
So, and how was your birthday?
Very good. I barbecued some ribs. I smoked some ribs, and that was fun. And I became the owner of various back issues of Detective Comics. So I had maybe 200 some books. Between my brother and my girlfriend, that I was able to get. Yeah, it sounds great. And a big chunk of Detective Comics from like, I'd say like 600s up until the relaunch. So I'm excited about that. Filled in some gaps and, it was a good birthday for, what it was.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone follows Pete or if you're friends with him and you follow him on Instagram or stuff, you can always see his, the food, the meats that he smokes. And what last night was a ham? Yesterday was it? Was that today? Was that yesterday?
That was yesterday. It was a ham.
Man. You guys should have seen that one. It had pineapple and everything. It was
It was good. It was good.
Yeah. I mean, I occasionally post my meals too that I cook.
Who doesn't love him?
That's true. I love him.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. So that's one of the other things. And maybe eventually we'll get around to having that, that whether we do it with Batman on film or we do it here, the cooking show that we've talked about. Me, you, and Bill Ramey, of course, and Rick Shue. We've talked about doing a cooking show.
Talk Gumbo.
Yep. So we've talked about doing that. So maybe we'll get around to that someday. But today we have a special guest with us, as I mentioned. He is somebody that everyone who listens to this will know and has heard before. He writes for Batman on Film. He's been a podcast contributor on Batman on Film. And he now has his own podcast called The Batman Book Club, which both of us have been honored to be on. And he is Ryan Lauer. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Hello, gentlemen.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good to answer your question. Got my fiance in the other room and hearing my siren. She's echoing it.
Wow.
I love it.
It's catching on. I've got a fan. I've got a canary cry.
We'll have to get her on. on a show one day. We'll get her on.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll hop right to it.
Oh, she'd be great, I'm sure.
Yeah. She chose me. So
So what's been up, man? How you been? How are you surviving the pandemic?
How's your pandemic?
Well, my pandemic is going well, actually. I am holed up in the great northeastern Indiana. My apartment is in Christopher Nolan's Gotham City of Chicago, Illinois. And I actually just went back there to kind of check up on the place and trade some Batman books in, grab some more, bring them back here. And then I've been in a very bad habit while holed up of
spending my money on Batman things.
So did you evacuate it's bad. The city?
It's been so bad. But yeah, other than that, it's I am fortunate that I have been able to work from home, still get my steady paycheck, and basically still be able do everything that I do on a normal day. My work has been awesome and gotten all of us hooked up. So I'm able to do what I do normally, just at a little slower pace. That's it.
Right.
So I'm fortunate. I recognize that.
Yeah. I mean, like I've said in previous shows, I also have been able to work. So I've been very fortunate that, and I've always worked from home, at least for this company. So nothing changed for me. It was the same. It just the nighttime where I used to go out and decompress, I can't do that anymore. So the nights have been a little rougher for me during the pandemic. But, you know, we're getting through it. I'm getting through it. And we all will. I have a good feeling. I think probably within the next month or so, we'll probably have some loosening of the restrictions, especially here in New York. And I know they've started. I know in New Jersey for Pete, they're actually going to open the Jersey Shore this coming weekend. Yeah. So things are slowly getting back to normal somewhat. I mean, I know we're going to have to wear like masks probably for a while and do some social distancing. But
is it true? Maybe it was just a rumor that the situation's going to even cut the ribbon to open the Jersey Shore. Ba-dum-cha.
He just got out of jail, didn't he? So maybe.
I'm telling you, there are no morals. So he will. Anyway, sorry. Carry on. Thanks for having me on. I'll see myself
out there. That was the last time we saw Ryan on Straight Outta Gotham.
Yeah, I think we all just got Tanner too. Anyways, sorry to interrupt.
No, it's all right. This is a no judgment zone. I don't judge people. As long as you keep things somewhat that's brotherly, awesome. I don't mind.
I'm going to judge the hell out of you.
Perfect.
All right. So one of the reasons I wanted to have Ryan on is to talk about, I mentioned earlier, he has his own podcast, which just started, a couple months ago now? Two, three months ago?
Oh, yeah. It launched in early March.
Yes. So Ryan started a podcast called The Batman Book Club, where he has some people on to discuss their favorite Batman comic books. And I've been on it. Pete has been on it. Actually, we were the first two guests, I believe.
You bet.
More than you, baby.
Yeah. Yep. So we both got a chance, and I discussed The Long Halloween, and Pete discussed Year One. And I had a great time doing it. It was fun.
Pete was my first. It was wonderful.
That's right.
He was so calm, collective, and we just grooved our way through Batman Year One, the debut episode. Mm-hmm. Yep, and then Eric came on for our episode 2 for Long Halloween, the sequel, and then our Minnesota Bat brother, Garrett Greve, came on for Dark Victory. So do you notice, first three episodes are Year One, Long Halloween, Dark Victory. Yeah. Weird. Weird.
Yeah.
It's weird how that worked.
Yeah.
I wonder how that happened. Anyway. So I wanted to ask you, I know you're a huge Batman fan. You've been reading comics for a long time. So why did you want to do this kind of a show? What was your motivation?
My motivation. So I am a nerd. I like Batman anything, and I want to talk about Batman anything. And fortunately, I was able to, a few years ago, Pete Vera and I, both got involved with Batman on Film at about the same time and were able to write reviews, comic book reviews. Mm-hmm. And then I finally somehow was able to get on a BOF podcast, and I wanted to talk more about anything Batman, but it's Batman on Film. So it's not like there was a ton of comic coverage, and I heard other podcasts talking about comics. I'm like, I want to talk more Batman. So the idea had been brewing for quite a while. And I was just kind of too scared to jump in, 'cause I thought, if I'd ask anybody any podcaster questions, they'd be like, oh yeah, this and this and this. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to start and screw it up. And if I'm going to start something, I want to finish it. I want to see it through. I want it to be good. So I was kind of overwhelmed by everything. And then I just started hearing the same answers of, you just need to do it. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Just start it. So I finally started getting things lined up. Mm-hmm. I got somebody to draw my cover photo. had somebody else do some music for me. And then I was just like, let's get this thing going. So started recording, started with the Bat Boys, the BOF Brethren. And yeah, it's off and running.
You're not sticking just to comic books, are you?
It can be anything in the written medium. So it doesn't exactly have to be comics. It could be, you know, some novels or like, you know, the original scripts. And we could say like we read the Batman Returns original like script compared to the movie, something like that. But everybody I have asked now, they have instantly jumped to comic books, which I kind of figured it would happen anyway. So I'm waiting for the day of that curveball to be thrown.
Now, you want to know what I love most about the show? And
what do you love most about the show?
Your show in particular. Because, and it's funny because it's so young. But, you know, the first three, you knocked off some three heavy, heavy books. You know, big time writers, guys who changed the game.
And I didn't choose them. One thing definitely. Whenever I reach out to somebody, I just say, this book's been taken. Other than that, anything is game. And yep, you shot in right away, year one. Eric said Long Halloween, and then Garrett said Dark Victory. So,
but then it's after that where Justin Kowalski, BOF alum, you guys did a show and you did Thrill Killer. And it's funny because that's such an obscure tale. And it's like, that's why podcasts are here, because you guys can dig deep. And, the next one I want to do is The Penguin Affair. And it's a bit of a more obscure title, but, you know, in order to kick off the show, you got to go with the heavy hitters. I get it. But I'm looking forward to those like Thrill Killer, Penguin Affair, obscure titles. You know, like, I don't know. I'm sure Rob Myers has like a crazy Firefly story he loves. You know? Like, those are the things I want to hear talked about.
Yeah. So Rob Myers was guest number four. And he was like, I love Tim Drake as Robin. In Lonely Place of Dying is my favorite Batman story. I'm like, sweet. And he goes, so I'm going to choose Batman and Son. And it's
the most Rob Myers answer ever.
Well, okay. And those are kind of some of the wild cards that I do. I actually, like, I appreciate that. It's kind of unpredictable a little bit. And then, like you said, Justin Kowalski, who, by the way, he made my theme music, mixed the theme music. He came out with Thrill Killer, and I'm like, I've never heard of this book before. So that was also, I'd never heard of it before. So just
the cover alone is so abstract, and you're like, this is jarring. It's an interesting story.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the both sides of it that I really like is, one, I get to talk about year one. I don't get to talk about comics a whole lot with people anyway. And then I get to talk about The Long Halloween. Then I get to talk about Dark Victory. And these are books I've read countless times. And then Thrill Killer, something I've never read before. And so then also I have an upcoming episode with a big cheese of Batman on film, Bill Jett Ramey. And he chose a story that I had never read before. So you'll have to wait and find out.
That's actually one of the things I like that you're doing this, because we know the heavy hitters, but there might be people who don't know Thrill Killer, right? And they want to now they listen to you and they're like, oh crap, let me take a read, let me see what that's about. So I loved the idea when you told me you were doing it. I loved it. I'm happy you're doing it. I'm happy that you're getting good feedback, which is always important. But where do you see, like, where do you want to go with this? Is this like just for fun, or do you hope to, you know, to maybe someday link in some marketing where you get a little money for it? Like, what's your plan?
I have no monetizing plans at all. Okay. Like, I like talking about Batman, and people like to listen about Batman, and I don't have any plans of opening like a Patreon to try and have people pay for anything. Cause like, once you start bringing money into it, it gets a little less cool, and it's not exactly a hobby. Now you're kind of making it business wise. I have no interest in that. It's kind of, podcasting is free to listen to. It can be expensive to do your own, but I'm here to entertain you for free. And you left out completely, Eric Holzman, that you're a producer for Batman Book Club.
Yes, I am. I was going to let you say it, but because I didn't want to. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm, you know.
That's
but,
why yeah. you're asking about the money. It all makes sense.
No. I'm fired. I was thinking more towards the lines of affiliate marketing, where eventually you have enough listeners where an affiliate, a marketing company like some will give you an ad to place on your page or something like that, where you, some people can get clicks on it. And then
ads are not cool. And also for somebody like myself who does not have, it's not like I have some kind of grand following or anything either. So where I'm at now with it, I'm extremely happy with the start of only 5 episodes in. And the number of downloads with it, like, it's whether it's just people subscribing and then just deleting without listening, I don't know. But I'm going to pretend that all those downloads, people are listening to it. And it's a cool feeling, considering I don't have much of like a big any presence on social
You're
media or anything
Twitter,
like that. So.
Stop it.
Oh, please. Everyone knows who you are.
You're huge on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. The bah, 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 guy.
They know you from our BOF podcast.
Is that the guy who does the Poison Ivy impression?
Carson.
So let me bring up something that you recently did that I thought was hysterical and also cool at the same time.
Please do.
You bought a bat wing lamp, right? It's a lamp.
Oh yeah,
bat wing, and it's really awesome. When we ordered it and got it, he sent us all of us in the text group, we all got the picture. So it was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But then you did a review for this on Batman on Film, and how did that come about?
Well, why don't you go ahead and ask your co-host?
Okay, Pete, how did that come about?
He's the wizard him. Behind the curtain.
I was like, dude, you should just review this. It's too cool not to. Just from like the photos alone, and this is something that's been on like the, where'd you get from the WB store?
Yeah, like I wrote in the review.
The slip used to be like $100, you know, and it's like
I never knew that. I never knew it even existed. It was, so I saw it $50, and I'm like, okay, wait, that's actually
for $50. It makes you start scratching your head and thinking you can buy it, but for $100, you're like, I can't buy a desk lamp for $100.
Exactly. And so then you texted me,
you can buy a bat wing replica. Yeah.
You were like,
a statue, a good statue runs you $50.
Yeah. That's what you texted me and asked me, like, how much do you like it? And I'm like, I really like it. And you're like,
and just from like the pictures, it looks like it's pretty decently detailed. And, you know, it looks like it pretty much accurately captures the image of Keaton's Batwing at the end of 89. So it looks really cool. And to be able to maneuver it, everything is cool.
I never in my life thought I would write anything about a desk lamp. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have made it. And actually, you know what? And I have become, I need some commission. Now we need to start talking money. Cause I had, Steve? I think I got Bill to buy one. I think I don't know if Pete never updated me, if he bought one, who knows how many. I got somebody else in the BOF Facebook group to buy. If not one of them, it was like a couple of them or something. So I should be like, you know what? Listen, give me some of that Skrilla.
The price is right. It was overpriced at 100, but at $50.
I might buy one though. I might.
You should.
Cool, man.
Yeah. I mean,
it gives off a decent amount of light, right? It's not like a cheap lamp.
No, it's a good light. Like it lights it up. Lights it up.
Yeah. It's just the whole concept of reviewing something that's inanimate like that. And I was just kind of like, and it's just a lamp. I'm like, how do you review a lamp? But you did a very good job. I would give you that.
I mean, maybe it was a little wordy. I should have just had it to where you click on it and just buy it. And that's
when
it.
I said review it, I thought like, this is just like my head. I would have done a video review.
I know. I don't have the, what do I want to say? I don't have any kind of setup to do that or do it right. And how I picture it in my head of how I would do it, it would come out looking like 6% quality comparison. Yeah. Like, no, I'm just writing.
It's like when I do my tour reviews and I'm like, I feel like Shortmas Prime. And then you watch them and you're like, oh, this looks like shit. Yeah.
You know what, Bill, why don't you take a look at this? And if it sucks, just delete it. I will not be offended.
Yeah.
So yeah, with that, I mean, I think it's a cool review. Again, and during this time, it made me chuckle, and we need laughter during this time, because I think if we didn't have that, we'd all be going a little crazy.
We all need a little light at this time.
Okay. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Here it is.
Who dropped the sound effects?
So, yes, we do need a little light. Thank you, Lauer, for that.
You're welcome.
Priceless.
Yes, definitely priceless. So switching gears now, Ryan's going to come and help us talk these things through. A couple of Batman-related things came up this week, and we'll get to those in a minute. The first thing, though, however, is the Snyder Cut. This thing just keeps coming back into focus. It keeps coming back into being relevant. Mm-hmm. So we got news recently that it was shown to some of the execs at AT&T and Warner Brothers, and then they said that it wasn't half bad. At least that's what I read. And of course, now this is this has reignited people pushing, and the movement, as we know, is pushing it. They've always been pushing it, but now, of course, this gives them a little bit more oomph to keep going. I don't think any of the three of us have spoken about this publicly, at least on a podcast. Since this is Pete and I's podcast, I think we're going to take tonight and give our opinions on what we think about the whole thing. So, Pete, I'll let you start.
Well, it's just like, here's the thing. Like, I feel bad the guy got fired, right? You know, he was given the whole DCU to, you know, play with, and, you know, Warner Brothers wasn't happy what he did, so they fired him, right? They took away his movie, and it got butchered and whatever. Okay. But it's like, at some point, I don't know how far along this movie is. Like, is it really just a work print of a movie and there needs to be special effects? Because, like, to be brutally honest, I don't want to see that. I only want to see it if it's like 100% completed, and that's just me. You know, like, everyone knows I like Man of Steel a lot. I love BVS. I love Batfleck. If there's another movie out there that gives me another interpretation or another take or another shot at Ben Affleck's BVS performance level of Batman, I'd love to see it. But I don't think that movie's finished. And then there's and also goes back to, like, there was a reason why he was fired to begin with. You know, like, I love BVS, but I feel like I'm in a very small minority outside of, like, Lauer here.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, so it's like, we love BVS and we appreciate BVS. I like BVS because it's like, it's a legit comic book movie. You know, Amazons, Kryptonians, Doomsday. I think it's all pretty cool, to be honest with you. And I'm going to, I'm with Rick Shue. I don't think Doomsday looks half bad anyway. So I'm going for that. So me and Rick together think that. But, you know, like, I'm just, at some point, I'm just like, dude, like, I don't know, you just kind of take it on the chin. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, it seems to be working. So, like, what the hell do I know?
Well, did you think it was weird that this happened recently?
Like, no, this? I mean, everyone keeps throwing out HBO Max and HBO Max, and it's going to be on HBO Max. I'm like, I mean, if you, I just, like, what are you going to get HBO? Like, what is it? I don't even know what HBO Max is, but, like, am I going to run to HBO Max because of Zack Snyder's Justice League, or am I going to run to HBO Max because, you know, I can watch Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Sopranos? You know? What is the, I don't get what HBO Max even is. Everyone keeps throwing that out there. I have no idea what that app is. How is it different than HBO Go? I don't know. I don't really care, but if that's how they're going to do it.
Yeah, it's kind of like HBO's Netflix or
archives, their inventory, all HBO.
Isn't that what HBO Go is? I don't know. Like, I have HBO Go.
Well, they're going to be doing original programming with HBO Max.
Okay.
And I believe it's only going to be for HBO Max. Like, you can't watch it on HBO, or if you have HBO Go and that. It's specifically for HBO Max.
So. Do I want to spend $14 a month, right? Because that's how much HBO Max is. $14 a month to watch a movie that's not finished. You know,
well, yeah, that's one of the things about it that I heard, and I was kind of like, all right, well, what's the point then? But
and am I going to pay $14 a month for like a whole year to watch one movie? Like,
right?
Put it on Blu-ray at least, and this way I'll pay the $25 for the Justice League Director's Cut, the unfinished version, a la Richard Donner Superman 2. And I'll pay the $25, and that's that. But I don't want to pay $14 a month to watch a stupid cut of a movie that's not done.
That's true. Thought I read that Doom Patrol got moved there. Is that true?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So is Doom Patrol.
I don't understand that.
Is Doom Patrol going to debut on DCU, or is it done on DCU?
Well, yeah, that's what I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I think
Kowalski again told me that it debuts on DCU, and then it gets played on HBO Max as well.
Okay.
I don't know.
So I'm like, well, again, if that's the case, why do I need HBO Max again? I have DC Universe.
Right.
Why am I paying the same money for the same? I don't know what HBO Max is. What is? Somebody tell me what it is. Somebody legitimately tell me what this stupid app is.
It's basically what I just said. It's kind of like Netflix, where you're going to be able to, obviously you'll have HBO content on there, but they're going to do original programming specifically for the HBO Max. At least that's how I understand it. So
it sounds like I'm just going to keep HBO Go and rewatch The Sopranos. If they take The Sopranos off HBO Go and I have to pay to watch on HBO Max, that's when I'll switch. But like, HBO, you know, Zack Snyder's unfinished movie isn't going to make me do that. And I'm a superhero fan. Like, I may pay once just to watch it. So you'll get my $15 and then
cancel.
That's it. Yeah, I'll watch it once. This way I can judge it, or I'll watch it a few times. I'll watch it over the course of a month. But I'm not going to be here there long term.
Yeah, I do eventually think, and this is sad for me to even think and say, but I do think that all the original programming on DC Universe will be moved to HBO Max eventually. Just a gut feeling. That's all. I hope it doesn't, because I kind of like having that on DC Universe. But
I think it will, but I don't think DC Universe is going away, because I don't know. I like.
No, I don't think it will either.
Because it's more TV shows.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I love what I love about DC Universe is the old TV shows, like Wonder Woman, General Solicia, Flash, George Superman, like those things are golden. And the animated library, like, I love the DC Universe app.
And all the animated movies, yeah.
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 So
Lauer, Snyder Cut. Again, as Pete mentioned, and as we know, because we're friends, I know how big a fan of BVS you are. What about other Zack Snyder movies? Do you like 300? Do you like, Dawn of the Dead?
Are you all a fan of those? I might go down some weird paths here. So reel me in if I start going crazy. Initially, okay. To answer your question, I really like Dawn of the Dead, directed by Zack Snyder. I like 300, directed by Zack Snyder. I love Watchmen, directed by Zack Snyder. Okay. I've never seen his Owl movie. I did not like Sucker Punch. I really like Man of Steel. I love Batman vs. Superman.
Okay.
There's the, from what I know, Zack Snyder filmography. There are my quick reviews. Very positive.
So, yeah, clearly you're a fan of his work.
I am.
So go ahead.
That being said, Batman vs. Superman, its opening, etc. I think it is fair to say, like, I don't care about the critic reviews. I feel like general audience reviews of it were, My fiance, Mira, she is my barometer of general audience. She is not the tuned in nerdy nuts like we are. She is who Warner Brothers is paying attention to. And she saw it with me on my first viewing. And I'll never forget her words when I asked if she liked it. She said, yeah, but I wouldn't recommend it. And she's... In us watching movies since then, she's never picked that as the movie for us to watch. She's never seen it since then. And she doesn't say anything bad about it per se. She's just always, she picks something else, even along superhero lines. And if it's Batman, she picks the Dark Knight trilogy. Like, she goes straight to those. It's like to me, that kind of says something too of, something about that movie didn't click with her and a lot of people. And as numbers for box office receipts showed too, great opening weekend, the first weekend of its release worldwide was half of its overall earnings. It kind of nosedived right after that. To me, says, oh yeah, everybody was interested. And then I don't want to say nobody, that's incorrect, but a lot of people didn't want to bother sitting and seeing it a second time.
That's it. Everyone wanted to see it once. It had a huge opening. Yeah. Everyone wanted to see it. No one wanted to see it again. That's what I'm doing.
So I'm working towards, because instantly going into Justice League after that, and I know there's a lot of written things, podcasts and stuff, and people should, they just kind of like, hold on, let's delay Justice League, yada, yada. And there were a lot of people that said, I don't think that Zack Snyder should continue. And he goes through, he makes a bunch, and apparently word is out of like his assembled cut and whatever is not very good. And then if you read between lines, that's when timeline of things get shaky. And then eventually we learned that he quote unquote has stepped away due to a tragedy. And somehow the rest of that story started to get muffled a little bit too. So then the release of Justice League, very like disappointing. numbers wise and everything. I had fun with it. I think it's kind of a little bit of a mess, but I had a fun time and I've revisited it a lot. And I think it's just fun. It bothers me a lot that I don't like Batman in it outside of his opening scene. That hurts for me to watch a movie and not like Batman in it. Mm-hmm. And since then, the hashtag of release the Snyder Cut, I fully support. If you hire somebody, a creative person, you hired them for a reason, hire them, get your hands off and let them do what you hired them for. So on that note, when he was still assigned to make his movie, they read his freaking scripts. Like, they shouldn't have been surprised by his assembly cut, you know, like they, mm-hmm. That's what he was signed on to do. They knew it. And after the BVS reaction, like, they're even more aware of everything he's doing because now he's under the microscope. So it's kind of like, even if they didn't like what he had going, like, that you shouldn't have been that surprised. Now, that being said, now we work to what was originally released, all this blah, 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 blah. Back to your original question of release the Snyder Cut. You didn't even say that. I did. I'm with Pete on, I don't like seeing unfinished movies. I'm glad I've had the, like, invites of coming of secret screenings, whatever, to see. And I'm like, I have no interest at all. I don't want to see an incomplete movie. I do not like the Donner cut of Superman 2. Had it been fully finished to what he wanted, then yeah, I'd probably put it on the pedestal that a lot of people do. But I just can't, once you get a storyboard or once you get somebody with a green screen shot into a movie, it's kind of like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if they release this thing, I don't think that there's monetary gain by them trying to put money into it to finish it. Not to mention, I feel like there's going to have to be reshoots and everything. And you think how many years removed they're going to get people back to it's already, the reshoots would be more obvious than they were anyway of the release of Justice League. Reshoot.
I just, not with the way these people's schedules are, the cast at least. I think,
yeah, there's just kind of, there's just like, know. I just feel like there's no way to finish it. So there's a lot of push. There's a lot of push by a vocal minority of with that hashtag. There are a lot of, I know some people that do the hashtag and they are good dudes. Right. Good dudes, yep. For the right reason that I just said of, like, if you hire somebody, you hired them for a reason, let them do their thing. And I have no problem with them using the hashtag. I'm like, go for it. I'll never use it. Even though if it was released, I'd watch it. But I wouldn't like it because I feel like it's just unfinished. Nothing says it is 100% finished. The best outlook has been it's 80% finished. That's what I've come across. And I'm like, that's still 20% unfinished. Like, eh. So then if after all this pressure from the vocal minority of, you know, you've seen it, I mean, it's everywhere where parts like this is inappropriate. Like, this is almost just like a crowd just bombarding you because mm-hmm. they no. This is what we want and dude. Not, and eh. And
hey, it sucks. You didn't get what you want. It sucks. Sorry.
Yeah. So
guys are out of control.
So then, and I told you, sorry, this was going to be a long rant. There's this, let's say WB's finally like, okay, we'll release it. They're going to release the unfinished one. There's going to be a quick success up to the lead of it's being released on, let's say June 16th. So much, we did it. Yes, yes, June 16th, it's coming. They watch it. It's incomplete. Back to the drawing board of harassing Warner Brothers. You need to put the money in and finish the vision and stuff like that, to where it's not going to be.
Yes.
It's not going to stop. So part of me, of course, would be just for the fact of, if you have something, sure, throw it on HBO Max. That's probably the least expensive way to get it out there. But that it's only going to be, okay, you're hungry. Well, here's a snack. Mm-hmm. We know you're still hungry and they're going to come back for more. It's like, well, what do you want us to do now? To where I just feel like it wouldn't stop. So the final answer of should they or shouldn't they? I'm like, I don't know. Nobody's paying me to give a decision, but like, also let's say they are satisfied. Wasn't the original vision supposed to leave you a little the next one.
Part one. Yes, it was a part one.
I'm not going to do part two, period. So then also by releasing it, they're teasing you with something that's never going to come. So do you want that too? Because then that's also going to bring the pitchforks of like, well, you need to continue this vision with the second part. And it's like, that's even more unrealistic than releasing the current assembly. And so that's just kind of where I stand, where I don't like that the actions and words of a few have soiled the image of many. Because I kind of just don't, I just ignore that stuff now when I am. And that might not make me popular. And like, okay, whatever. I'm just being honest of like, I see it. I scroll because I just, it's gotten toxic. It's gotten, there's bullies that use it. There's bullies in every facet of everything I know. But if I can actively avoid a bully, then I will.
It's also been 3 years of this too, you know? So like, holy crap, this has been going on. Oh, geez.
And I love BBS, period.
Yeah, no.
For the reasons that you stated mostly, Lauer, that's how I feel. They can't win either way, right? Whether if they show it and it's great, people are going to be like, oh, finish it. If they show it and it's bad, everyone who didn't want it to come out is going to be like, haha, I told you so. Yeah. And it just makes them look like they're kowtowing to, like, as you said, the vocal minority to put something out there that they've been screaming for the past couple of years. I just want to put this out there really quickly. I have no issue with anyone who wants to see this movie, who believes it should have been made, who's been part of this movement. I really don't. I think it's kind of cool in a way that people got behind something like this. But I also think if you're an adult, you kind of have to be realistic about it, what your chances are for this happening. It'd be like we've talked about, it'd be a big financial investment from WB. Like you said, there'd probably have to be reshoots. So now you're bringing in a bunch of cast members back to a movie that they believe that they thought would obviously be finished with.
And you're going to have to pay them.
Right. And one of them doesn't even want to do it. We know. We know Ben Affleck does not want to come back and play Batman. So you have to.
BVS.
Yep. So now you have all these other things coming in, all these other problems. And you just have to think logically, like, yes, I wish we got this movie. I agree with what you said, Lauer, too, about you hired him to do the job. You should have let him finish it, let him put out his movie, and then move away from it after the fact. They didn't do that. So I really, really just want to move forward from this point. I don't want to focus on this movie anymore. Again, if it was out, would I go see it? Sure. But as you said, I want it complete. I don't want to be watching storyboard shots and, you know, like you said, a green screen with no effects. And that's not a movie to me. That's, you know, that's just rough cuts.
That's unfinished homework.
Right. And I don't want to have to deal with that. So if they're going to do it, do it. But again, and I've said this from the beginning, and I think most of us feel this way, it's probably not going to happen. And that brings me to my final point is I hate that this came out, because I thought we were kind of moving past there. We were getting excited about the Batman. Things were coming out about the Batman. We were all kind of moving away from this. And then this comes out and it's like, wow, okay, here we are. Here we go again.
To be brutally honest, I think this thing's going to come out. And I'm not saying it's going to come out next month or next year. I think within the next 9 years, this thing will come out. Okay. And this is coming from just because it's a way for them to, it's just too hot right now. That's it. It's been 3 years. And every time Warner Brothers posts something on social media, it's released a Snyder Cut. So it's got to die down before they do it. But I think it will come out at some point. And as someone who has purchased the Richard Donner Superman 2, I've watched it once. I bought it the day it came out. I went to Best Buy. I would think it was like a junior in college. Mm-hmm. I watched it that day. I haven't watched it since, you know? So like, if this movie comes out, I envision it, like at certain points, I'm going to be looking at like Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot. And then at certain points, it's going to look like a sketch drawing after like, remember the special effects of the in Batman 89, where like they showed you the storyboards of Robin and Batman.
Yeah. The Robin sequence.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at like some guy doing a voiceover who's doing a Mark Hamill impression or whatever, you know, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, again, it's like you said, it's not a complete movie. It's like, I don't want to see this. You know, I feel bad. The guy should have, in hindsight, they probably should have fired him right after BVS and never let him make Justice League. They probably should have, once Justice League got started production, they should have just let him make the movie and fire him after that. You know, like Warner Brothers shot themselves in the foot and it screwed up and they did this and they dug their own grave. You make your own bed, you got to sleep, and all the stupid analogies you want to throw at it. Whatever. Like,
but there's another thing too, is there's a whole new regime in here, and there's such pressure on them to do something that it's like, well, we weren't involved with that at all. So like, if I start a new job, I don't want to have to mess with something. I don't want to have to open up. So I edit. I don't want to come in and a year after I start the job, be like, so, hey, there's this guy, Derek. He did something 3 years ago. Why don't you go ahead and go in there and just work with what you have and go ahead and send it out. Like, well, why? I'm like, I don't know. Cause, Marvin and Marissa downstairs really want it. Well, I have other things I got to do that I'm getting paid for. Okay. Yeah. So I'm not going to mess with Derek's failure.
Like, yeah. Here's another thing too. Like, this is so eerily similar to Nolan and George Miller and their Batman, you know, like that weird mm-hmm. like time in 2008 where Dark Knight was going against Justice League Mortal. And like the story is that like Nolan and Bale walked in to Warner Brothers studio and was like, one of these movies are going to stop and it's not mine, you know? And it's just like, it's like, oh man, Matt Reeves just doesn't have that pull to just walk in there to Toby Emmerich's office and be like, look, enough of this. Batman's mine now. Like no more Batfleck. Like let's move on. Like that's it. Like, you know, give me some love here. Like, you know, I got the next 9 years of Batman films. Let's move on here. Like stop bullshitting me here. I'm in charge.
I mean, he made that money with the Apes movie. So he does have some kind of.
Well, that was Fox. Which
that's true. Yeah, that was Fox. Before.
But it's like, you know, I don't know if he's done a Warner Brothers movie yet. Has he? I'm not really sure. So I don't know. Like Nolan's a WB guy. So he's got a lot of clout there.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I mean, this whole, it was just kind of like. I knew the moment I saw, I was scrolling through Twitter the other day and I saw the story and I was like, oh no, here we go. Here we go.
Well, it's just funny, again, you put them together. This person tweeted that person tweeted that.
Yep.
This is kind of cryptic and you're like,
oh, yep. And I'm not, and again, I'm not against it coming out really for any other reason than.
It's what it's what it does to Twitter.
It's just that we know that what's there now isn't finished. And I think we're all pretty smart enough to know they're not going to put any money in it to finish it.
Especially so when it costs $20 million.
Right. So what are we going to be watching?
Unless Zach wants to throw, I see his video account. His house looks gorgeous. It's in like the hills of Hollywood. I'm sure he's got 20.
Does he even own it though?
I don't know. He said he built it. He was building, I think he built it off his like BVS check, I guess.
Not the house. Does he own the movie? Does he own? I don't think he owns the Justice League.
I was going to let him finish his comments.
I don't know if he owns the house. For sure he does. He built it.
But no, that's a valid question. That's a valid question, though, Eric, because I thought that too. Just because I write a Batman comic doesn't mean I get to release it. Like those aren't my characters or my creations,
whatever it is.
So it's like, yeah. But that's going legal, really wants to get and done, I don't.
And Warner Brothers doesn't want to spend the cash. I don't know, dude. You're rich. Throw them $20 million. I don't know if he's got it.
I mean, maybe he can buy them from Warner Brothers and then do what he wants with it. He can buy back the footage from Warner Brothers and be like, here, give me the footage, and then fix it up on his own and release it.
$20 million in the special effects out of his own pocket, and Warner Brothers will distribute it and take their sales.
Yeah, you could do that too. But yeah, I mean, if that's really what it's going to take, then that's fine. But again, that's what Lauer said before and what I truly believe is if they do release it, they put the money in and they fix up and it's good, well, you only have half of the story. Because we're not getting the second half of the story.
Well, it's crazy.
To be honest, but I've
from being two parts to one part to put a bow on and it's done.
Yep.
Well, to be honest, too, what I've come across and what was going to happen in it wasn't exactly fond of where apparently the movie was going either.
Right.
And I mean, that's judging something before experiencing it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there's kind of a reason too that I'm not even more passionate. I'm like, well, I really wanted to see that because it's just like, I don't think I was liking where it was going. So, and then you get me to a point of being disappointed and be like, I don't like where that was headed. And then I don't even get to see it finish because there's no more. So,
Especially someone who likes the last movie, you know, you're like, oh, okay. It's like, okay, well, you hear rumors and you're like, so that's why you guys changed it? I don't blame you for that.
And Eric, I hope you're happy because as quickly as the Batman book club has launched, now it will sink because I'll have nobody downloading.
Oh, stop it.
Everyone heard this and said unsubscribe.
No. I mean, I think we're all just giving our opinion. I don't think any of us are being disrespectful to anything out there. I mean, like I said, I think this whole movement behind a movie is kind of cool. It's people uniting behind something they believe in. I have no problems with that.
I mean, I do respect how
we should get this fan base.
I do appreciate how 100% behind the movement Rick Shue is. He's conducting himself great.
Shout out to our friend Rick.
But yeah, no, Shue's he's a leader in the Snyder Coalition. He might be Postmaster General of the Army.
Yeah, he's very vocal behind the Snyder Cut.
He's a big advocate. What would you say? Yes.
So
Shue and Shue.
Once, just in wrapping this part of the show up, I just, again, everyone out there, everyone who's part of the Release the Snyder Cut movement, I admire, at least for me, I admire the effort you've put in. I admire that it's gotten this far. And
raised a lot of money for suicide prevention, and I got to give you credit where credit's due.
Yes, it's been more than just the movie. Yes, that's true.
There's a lot of you who are horrible, horrible people, but there's a lot of good people in that movement.
Yep. And I, if it is released, I hope you all enjoy it. I hope we all enjoy it, but you guys more specifically, I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. So, like I said, if there's more Ben Affleck BVS level Batman, I'd love to see it. I just don't want to see it in edited.
I don't want
like
another. I don't not like you.
Right. Okay. So moving on, we are going to fast forward now to the Batman. The production of the Batman, as we know, has been halted because of the coronavirus pandemic. And we have been getting bits and pieces, small little things, bits of information. But we had something last week that kind of blew up the internet. In a lot of respects. So Robert Pattinson, the star of the Batman, did an article in GQ magazine. Now, I just want to preface this by saying the theme of the magazine was creativity in the time of quarantine. So just keep that in your mind when we start discussing these things. And the article kind of reads to me like a artistic performance piece. Now, the way the art, obviously GQ is a fashion magazine, so of course he's in all these different outfits where that's the price because they want people to go buy them, whatever. But we have this article, and he comes off as being a little odd and eccentric, even more eccentric than a lot of people think he is. So the internet blew up. They're like, oh my God, he's not working out because he said he didn't want to work out. He didn't think it's important to work out. Oh no, what's going on? He looks so disheveled. What's wrong with him? He's saying some crazy things. And when I first saw the comments, I'm like, what the hell happened? So I quickly go to GQ and I pull up the article and I'm scrolling. I didn't even read it. I'm just kind of scrolling through it. And I get a big smile on my face. I'm like, this is clearly an act he's doing in my eyes. It's just clearly not something he's saying he's not really eating. What does he eat? He puts pasta in the microwave and cooking pasta that way. And they ask him what he's eating. He says he's like on a meal plan for the Batman, but he's not really listening to his trainer, and his trainer's trying to get the whole thing. Just, it kind of reminded me of the Joaquin Phoenix thing a couple of years back where I forget what movie it was for, but where he had the really big beard and he said he was going to be an actor. Yeah. So going to be a rapper. And like everyone thought something was wrong with him then. And then it finally came out that he was just, getting into character and trying to. So that's how this read to me. I think he's fine. I think, again, he was just joking and having fun with the interviewer. But I'm sure you guys, if you didn't read the piece, I'm sure you've heard about it. What was your opinions?
Ryan, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So I read the piece and it was kind of weird, but I read it and I was kind of like, huh. But what stood out to me right away was that he said, I was watching the making of Batman and Robin the other day. And I said, holy shit. One of us. Because how freaking random and how awesome, because I find myself watching the making of Batman and Robin often. But his it really connected a little while after I was done with the piece. So I read it, and then I think I went and did something else. I tested the whole pasta in the microwave theory, and then came back, and I was like, you know, I think this is making me think of Bruce Wayne when Commissioner Gordon goes to see him at Wayne Manor in year one.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm. Right.
Total playboyish kind of deal, you know? Like, he was a little out there, and I've read... So, first what comes to mind is read it in Howard Stern's new book, and then also saw his interview on Howard Stern's show, and I've seen and heard Robert Pattinson talk normal.
Right.
And it's like, this piece in this article is just kind of too strayed from that, you know, like, right. Okay, but I'm not him. I wasn't there. I don't know how it really went down. Maybe he is being serious. I don't know. It's driven us all crazy to be quarantined. Mm-hmm. But the takeaway of the him not working out is hilarious, because you expect like, I don't know. He looks fine. He looks normal. Like, I don't know. I have like no, I didn't even know that was a thing until people started on both sides of it, of not caring and also being outraged, whether they were being serious or not. Like, they're just, I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know. That's my,
right. Yeah, it's kind of me.
There's exactly the name of this episode. Episode 3. Mwah!
Yeah, I kind of like that's kind of been my takeaway too. Like, I'm just like, okay, don't read too much into this. You know, it was done. Like I said, I would like, once you read the title of the magazine of this specific issue of GQ, Creativity in the Time of Quarantine, I'm like, all right, well, this could just be, like I said, it reads like an artistic piece where he's in character, some character. I don't know what character that could be, but like you said, maybe the Bruce Wayne angle from year one, something like that. But yeah, that's how I looked at it as well. So Pete, what are your takeaways? Okay.
So when I first heard about this, everyone was up in arms that Pattinson wasn't working out. And then Campia went viral with his tirade about Pattinson not working out.
I was trying not to say his name.
No, I'll say it. That's fine. Put it out there.
I'll do it. Because everyone knows who he is anyway, so it doesn't matter. So instantly, I'm like, well, this is shit, and I don't need to read this. So I didn't read the article, okay? Just full transparency, I didn't read the article. I skimmed through it not too long ago.
Gasp.
But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, he looks a little ridiculous. Like, he looks kind of like Ezra Miller. Like, I'm getting like his fashion vibe is so interesting. Like, his clothes is very odd choice. And like, in certain parts of the article that I read, I did get vibes of what Eric mentioned earlier of Phoenix. And I did get vibes of him kind of being using this as almost kind of like him in the role, you know, just like how he would describe things. He sounded like he was like, you know, drinking grape juice and trying to convince somebody he was somewhere else while he was kicking the shit out of some guy in an alley, you know?
Right.
So it's like, and I got that just from like things he was reading and like, well, he was saying things that I was reading, and it's just like, he's such a, and I was like, oh, wow. So he's doing a little bit of history. Like, he mentioned Clooney and Bale and Affleck. I was like, okay. And it was interesting. And who watches, you know, the special features of Batman and Robin? Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, that's how crazy quarantine has made him. But it's just interesting. And just like, okay. So I enjoyed it. I have to reread it and give it another look. But it seemed like he was just kind of like playing the interviewer. At least that's what I got. And, you know, outside of Affleck, we've not had a live-action jacked Batman. You know, Adam West wasn't.
Right.
Keaton wasn't jacked. We saw Kilmer without his shirt off. He wasn't jacked. And Clooney was a skinny. Like, none of these guys are even remotely muscular.
That doesn't bother me. I'm more
Bale and Begins is kind of wide. You know, remember they made that joke in those special features, like, hey, Christian, we're making Batman, not Fat Man. You know, he had to lose weight for the role. So like, none of these guys have ever been really ripped.
Well, there was one particular exchange that I'm going to read. And I kind of thought where he's really talking about why he chose to do Batman. So the interviewer asks why the Batman is something you wanted to do. I can think of a lot of reasons to want to do it, but I can also frankly think of a lot of reasons not to do it. So then Pattinson responds, What are the reasons not to do it? So the interviewer continues, well, you just start in Christopher Nolan's film. Nolan has already made three iconic Batman films. Also, I think of you as being a pretty specific actor, and Batman is as much of an archetype as it is a character to be played. So Pattinson says, I think sometimes the downsides, which I've definitely thought about, the downsides kind of seem like upsides. I kind of like the fact that that not only are there very, very, very well done versions of the character, which seem pretty definitive, but I was thinking that there are multiple definitive playings of the character. I was watching The Making of Batman and Robin the other day. Yes. And even then, George Clooney was saying that he was worried about the fact that it's sort of been done, that a lot of the ground you should cover with the character has already been covered. And then he says, he asked what year it was. And then he continues, and then there's Christian Bale and Ben Affleck. And then I was thinking, it's fun when more and more ground has been covered. Like, where's the gap? You've seen this sort of lighter version. You've seen this kind of jaded version, a kind of more animalistic version. And the puzzle of it becomes quite satisfying to think, where's my opening? And also, do I have anything inside me which would work if I could do it? And then also, it's a legacy part, right? I like that. There are so few things in life where people passionately care about it before it's even happened. You can almost feel that pushback of anticipation, and so it kind of energizes you a little bit. It's different from when you're doing a part and there's a possibility that no one will even see it, right? In some ways, it's, I don't know, it makes you kind of a little spicy. So that exchange, at least, kind of was when I read it and I read the article and then I pulled out, that kind of seemed like the truest answers he's given in the entire thing. Like, I think he was truthfully answering that. And that made me feel good, because we've heard him say in the past that he loves Batman. He's always loved Batman. And he's approaching this seriously, and he's approaching it as a way to give us something we haven't seen before. And that made me, that's the only part of this entire article that I read. And I was like, I feel a little better. And every time I hear him speak, I feel a little bit more, feel a little better about the movie. So I just wanted to read that. Do you guys take anything from that?
So I love that all of us moviegoers are so much smarter than the directors, writers, actors, cinematographers, stage, you name it, like all the people behind the camera.
They're idiots.
Yeah, because we all know. We just know.
We know the film industry. We don't work in it. We know it.
Like, before the movie is even finished shooting, we know the directions of things. Like, this is like, I say collectively, because I'm not going to single people out, Rick Hsu, but
Rick who?
Shoes, sorry.
Dick Shoes, Dick Shoes.
But like, you don't think that Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson, and then go with the supporting actors as well, aren't excited about this project because it's something different? And then, are they really going to tell us and show us their hand way before the movie even comes out? Like, duh. Like, that's kind of the part that I think can end up annoying me with the stuff that's come out, because I get that he didn't need Batman to save his career. Like, this was his choice to do it. So he's banking on that Twilight money. So he's able to choose his projects. And so somebody like that is an artist. They're going to do something that's challenging and that benefits them, not on a monetary scale, but because, like, inside as an artist, it's going to fulfill something that they need. So that's got to be something that hasn't been done before. It's got to be a new idea. So that's where I go to. And for how long Matt Reeves has had to prepare this movie, and possibly more, but definitely gotta hit the first one out of the park. Like, right. Gotta be something different, because they can't go back to doing exactly what Nolan did. And they definitely can't do what just happened the past 5-6 years, you know, like, it's gotta be something different. And like, I hate just drawing all these comparisons of it's just like what came before. Like, you don't even know where the movie's going. You don't know the plot of the movie. You don't know what's happening. Like, reserve your judgment. Like, just wait until you see the damn movie. And so that's kind of, I think that what you just read totally reinforces that much for me. And anybody that's saying it's like it, watch the movie, come out and start drawing comparisons. And like, by all means, I'm like, okay, I see that. I understand that. But as of now, it's just like, Ryan, you don't even know what's going on.
Do you think that there's not enough time in between these movies? You know, between from Rises to BVS, you know, wasn't enough time almost. And I've come back on this, you know. I've been someone who's like, oh yeah, give me more. You know, I'm a Batman fan, so like, I'll take it all day. But
are you asking me or are you asking Lauer?
Both of you. That's both of you. Should, you know, between BNR to Begins was 7 years. Uh-huh. Between Rises to BVS was how long? Was it three?
Four. If you're talking from when it debuted in theaters, BNR to Batman Begins was eight. And then from Rises to BVS was four, or technically not even exactly four.
Right. It was a little less.
And this will be five and a half. Like,
yeah, I personally thought it was too quick.
How dare you?
No, not because for me, it wasn't too quick. Like, for me, I was okay with it. But for people who aren't in the know, I guess, to put it nicely, I had so many people asking me, is this the continuation of Bale's Batman? Like, is he, you know, with BVS and everything, the whole story is coming out. And I was like, oh, God, I have to answer all these questions. You know, you kind of get to the point. It's kind of like, all right, people are expecting this to be a continuation because it's been so close in time and not a lot of time has passed. So I think from that standpoint, it might have been too quick. Now, for me, I've said this before. I've written this in articles. I'm a Batman fan. I could have a new Batman movie every year and I wouldn't care. I'd be fine with that. As long as they were good movies, keep making them. But for the general audience, I do think it was too quick. I do think they needed to give a little more time to get over the Bale Batman before we started with a new one.
You know, I'm buying like 60 Batman books a month. You know, I'm buying like the Incontinent, right. The Black Hand. Right. There's three different versions of that. You know, it's like I obviously can't get enough, but I think the general audience needs to want this to an extent.
Yep.
I don't agree with you at all, Eric. We're not friends. But I don't think it's too soon, because you could say that BVS was too soon, but then look at its opening weekend. People came out its opening weekend. You go to Justice League, what were those numbers? Very disappointing. You ask general audience now, they glossed over, like a lot of them glossed over Justice League. I have a cousin who loves superheroes and he's 10, and he couldn't name a thing that happened in Justice League. I don't even know if he's seen BVS yet, so he doesn't have a Batman in mind. Like,
I think BVS hurt Wonder Woman. I think Wonder Woman would have made a billion if it wasn't for BVS.
Yeah, like, Wonder Woman had the legs. Not, this is not being derogatory, but the legs on the Wonder Woman movie were long. Like they were.
That movie should have made a billion, but it didn't.
But I just kind of mean like it was a downward trajectory after BVS, and I think that the numbers of Justice League kind of backed that up to where, well, it was already going down, and then they still had an Affleck Batman movie come out. That didn't help at all. And now even more distance from that to this next version, I think it's fine. Numbers might be, depending on how the marketing is, I think the numbers will be very acceptable. I don't think the
general audience doesn't care about Affleck's Batman. So therefore, literally, the general audience is going from Rises to Reeves. If Reeves' movie is good, if Reeves' movie tanks, they're going from Rises to whatever's next. You know, Affleck's Batman tanked. It's done. Snyder got fired. Everyone moved on. They're all recast. So it's like
straight out of the mouth of a man who loves Affleck.
It's true.
And a friend of his who loves Affleck.
I do too. I love Affleck.
Oh, it's
like, I don't believe you. I'm just kidding.
No one went to see Justice League, and people saw BVS. It was too, for whatever reason, they didn't like it. They never went for a repeat viewing.
I honestly think BVS, the reason why I did great numbers in the beginning, it wasn't just before Batman. I think it was because it was all three of them. People wanted to see all three of them, especially Wonder Woman, who had never been on big screen before. So I think you had people, the intrigue was there for that, and the marketing was pretty good.
It's Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's what drove BVS. But the fact that it has the largest drop off from week one to week two in movie history, I think that speaks more to the what it actually was for people.
You know, your title can't save you.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, so I don't know. I just back to the Pattinson article. I figured something we had to talk about. It was news. I did discuss Batman, but again, you got to take it from the source where it came from. It's a fashion magazine, and what the theme of the magazine was, and there's a lot of variables involved with this specific piece.
I did a Google image search. I saw a picture of him shirtless somewhere. He looks fine. Everyone stop him. I looked on the Google. I don't know when the picture was taken, but he looks, you know, he's in better shape than I am. So I was like, all right, he looks like he can wear a suit of armor and fight somebody.
So for the final topic tonight, was something that just happened tonight that I heard. I don't watch the show Batwoman, but I did catch before we hopped on to record. I did catch a tweet that said that Bruce Wayne actually appeared in a CW show. So I was like, oh my God, they're bringing Bruce Wayne in. And then I don't know if I should say what really happened because people might not have watched it yet.
You know what? But just say spoiler alert. Give it five seconds.
Yeah, we'll give you the 5 second spoiler. Ready, aim, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoiler talk. Turn off your mic. Are you ready?
Okay. So on tonight's that was the best spoiler countdown ever.
Yeah.
So on tonight's finale of Batwoman, we again, like I said, Bruce Wayne appeared on the show, but it wasn't really Bruce Wayne. This season they have introduced Tommy Elliott's Hush character. Yeah. And the finale, the character of Alice, who plays who is Kate Kane's sister, obviously, she as the comic book story arc goes as well, she gave Tommy Elliott the face, Bruce Wayne's face. So Hush, right now, Tommy Elliott is Bruce Wayne. And that's how the series season ended. I don't watch Batwoman. I know, Laura, you do watch
it. Let me tell you something. You're coming from the spokesman of the Batman Book Club, actually. That was actually the story arc, part of a story arc of Batman, Heart of Hush, which I think is better than the initial Hush story. I like the initial Hush story, but Heart of Hush, I think, is better than the original. Anyway, but it was a thing where Tommy Elliott has plastic surgery on his face to look like Bruce Wayne. And then in Batman RIP, Batman disappears to Omega. I got blasted in the face by Darkseid. Shit thing happened. All of a sudden, it launched another series that Paul Dini helped launch called Streets of Gotham. And through all of that, Tommy Elliott was Bruce Wayne, and it kind of created a fun story arc of play of how the Bat family was trying to cover up for Tommy Elliott as Bruce Wayne, doing all these things with like Wayne Enterprises or Wayne Financial and stuff like that. Great, so great. It is actually a really fun story. But I think that's probably where this inspiration kind of came from.
And if you guys weren't already thinking this in your head, Lauer's putting that out there because he wants people to come on and discuss that with him on the Batman Book Club. Sorry, Lauer. I gave
looking
up
at
secrets.
You, Rickshu. Looking at you.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting because obviously we've seen Bruce Wayne on Titans on the DC Universe, but he's never appeared in any CW show. I think just a shadow. And then on Gotham, we saw Batman, obviously.
We didn't.
And a young Bruce Wayne.
No,
but,
we didn't.
Yes. Veteran people who used to watch Pete and I in the Green Room, we all know how he feels about David Mazouz's portrayal of Bruce Wayne. But so I thought it was kind of cool, kind of interesting. It was just a little thing I saw a tweet before I came on that Bruce Wayne kind of exists in the Batwoman universe now. So
he was just like MIA.
Yeah, right. Like he's alive. He's just not there because then why would they need her? I hate to say that, but that's why would they need her?
A long, long time ago, me and Eric did this post-game show for Gotham called The Green.
Yes.
Which we intended to do a second season of The Green Room for Batwoman. But yes. for reasons unknown, it never came to surface. So I've actually watched only 4 episodes of Batwoman, and I actually dug it. I liked the kind of like, and it's like, it's not The Dark Knight or the Nolan trilogy, but it's like, I like the whole Fox connection. What's her name? Helene, what, I forget her name. What's her name? Lauer?
Who?
Katie
Kane.
Kate Kane?
Yeah. I love that relationship. I was like, okay, this is cool. And the best parts were when she was in the suit and she was fighting and it was badass, and Alice was great. So I haven't gone too far, but like when I saw the first still of Hush, I was like, wow, that's a Gotham level bad.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, didn't you get like the first Joker
yeah.
from Gotham? I was like, that's how I felt.
I was like, why did they bandage him up in a helmet? Why didn't they just bandage this guy's face?
Yep.
It's so weird. Why didn't they just do that? He looks like he's wearing a bad Halloween mask. But I got to give it a shot. I got to give Batwoman a shot. I do love the CW. So.
Well, you'll be getting, what, Superman and Lois next year, right? That's
looking forward to that. I'm a big fan of Superman. Get rid of those shoulder pads and give him some nice boots. But I like Hulk and Superman, so I'm excited.
You said boots, right? Give him some nice boots. Okay, just to double check.
Feet. The CW Superman boots.
Wasn't sure. I thought you might have said something else. I was like, why do you want? But no, we said boots.
And so. Boots.
Yes. Yeah, so that was it. That was the only thing, other thing I thought Batman related we should touch on. There have been some other leaks of things coming out. I saw also
recap. Huh? We should do a binge and recap Catwoman. We should or Batwoman. We should do a Batwoman.
No, thank you.
Just do it. We need show ideas.
I saw, so when the initial image was released of her, I thought that looks straight out of the pages. It looks like Batwoman. I'd give it a shot. And then their promotions for it, I did not like. And then I watched the first episode and I just kind of thought, it's not really for me. And I don't know that I'm just really all that big on Batwoman herself. I don't know the point of the character. Well, I didn't like her in the Tynan stuff, and that's like
Tynan Detective Run. The run she did in Detective Comics after Batman got Zeta beamed or whatever it is, Omega beamed, Omega sanctioned. She did a run Detective that I think Rucker wrote. Really good stuff. Try picking that up. That might be what you're liking.
Didn't like that one either.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that one was better than I think than the Tynan run, but it was something that I'd seen. Actually, in the first episode of Batwoman was the use of, well, we need to force you to know that this person is awesome. And by doing that, we need to put down somebody else. So I think what Tynan did instantly was make her all of a sudden smarter and better than Batman. And then in the first episode of Batwoman, she was just like, I don't need Bruce to do what I need to do. Oh, but I do need his money and his name and his secret Batcave and the Fox Boy. And I need all that stuff. I don't need him. And I think it's just like, that's just lazy writing. It's just lazy. And it just, the show itself, I was kind of like, yeah, I just don't think this is for me. And now my show, The Batman Book Club, is really going to lose all of its followers.
No. I mean, they're trying, from what I could tell, I mean, I've probably only watched about 6 episodes, but from what I can tell is they're trying, I think they're trying to tell a lot of a Batman story with Batwoman. Mm. So, you know, I think that's their goal. I mean, we all know they would love to do a Batman TV show again, but they're not allowed. And Gotham got away with it because Bruce Wayne was young. Like, that's why they got away with it, because they never had to show him as Batman. And then they got the rights to do it for like 2 seconds at the end, at the end of the show.
Batman Legacy. Gotham should be white existence.
Okay. But we're talking about that it happened, and we're just trying to get past the point.
I don't like it. Okay.
Your feelings are very well known on this topic.
I will watch Zack Snyder's Justice League cut a million times in a row before rewatching.
So yeah.
I wish that they'd make a Batgirl show, Barbara Gordon. And I love Barbara Gordon. I think she's awesome.
Gotham Central.
We'll see. Yeah, that's what Gotham was supposed to be originally. That's what it was pitched as.
Really good, like Chicago PD, and there's like Chicago Hot, like all these things. And I'm like, they're good, like these police dramas. And it's, you know, and I could see like somewhere along the lines, like, you know, like, oh, they're up there on the roof and there's Batman's cape and it's just him and they're talking to him. He doesn't say anything. It's just a silhouette and then he's gone. You know, you never see him, or he's just in the corner of a room and then you see him like leave, or you just see like the cape or the boot or something, you know, something.
Distinct. Yeah, that's.
And it's like,
that's what. Yeah, that's what Gotham was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a police drama around Jim Gordon. It wasn't supposed to be about Bruce Wayne. But as you know, the story of Batman's always going to take precedence. And oh, it's hard to do a show about Gotham City not having Batman in it. So, but no, now we got off on a tangent on a couple of other shows. just to reel us back in. Reel us back.
I lost it. I apologize, all you Gotham.
No, Pete, it's your show too. It's our show. You can take it on as many tangents.
I don't apologize to the Gotham fans.
Pete hates, yes, we know the Gotham stuff. Yes.
I meant everything I said. Oh.
All right, fellas. Well, that was a good show. A little over an hour. Yeah, we got a good show in here.
I'm keeping track of how many, my trajectory of downloads for the show and followers to see how far it drops after you drop this episode.
No, opinions
are very popular, but
the bat meter.
Yep. No, you could. I mean, no. I mean, I'm glad you came on the show. So thank you. I am too.
Thanks for having me.
I like. I mean, and of course, we want your opinion. We want your full opinion. I don't want to sugarcoat anything. You know, I want. If I have someone on the show and I ask you to be here, you know, definitely.
I have no hesitancy. I don't think I'm that harsh against the grain on that stuff.
You might be the most harsh person on Twitter. I mean, the number of lists that you are blocked on is astounding.
That's true. Yeah, we've been. Yeah, the truth is, all of us.
I don't have much of a following because I've been blocked.
Of all of us, I think I probably pissed more people off than anyone else.
Yeah, but,
I don't think pissed off very often. Yeah, right? That's why I do. But what really pisses me off is when I find out that someone blocks Chris Clow or Ryan Lauer.
Yeah, I don't know how you can. Yeah. Clow is so measured with his comments and he speaks so eloquently, even in Twitter. I'm like, I would never have said it that way.
Fanboy Shakespeare.
Oh, yes. Shout out to Chris Clow. Congratulations to you.
Yep. You, Ricky Church.
Congratulations to Paul Herman.
Yep. Trifecta of.
Ricky Church. Congratulations to Ricky Church.
Yeah. Congratulations to Garrett Grev, updated his internet.
Yes, congratulations to Garrett Grev. I was the other three have children, babies now, but the internet is all along the same line, along the same wavelength as those.
Congratulations, Rich, for
you got a new kitty.
Yeah,
yeah, Rick Shu, and the yes,
and
yeah.
Congratulations to Bill Jet Ramey, new house.
Yeah,
new house. Yeah, definitely.
Man, what am I doing with my life? I bought a lamp. I got a new lamp.
Congratulations, Ryan, on your new lamp.
Thanks, guys.
Good Lord. Yeah. We are slacking.
Yes.
Well, let's wrap this baby up. Lowry, you have any plugs?
I do. It's I recently launched this new podcast. It's called the Batman Book Club. I invite guests on. They get to pick whatever Batman story they want to talk about, and we talk about that Batman story. So I think it'll be tricky. When this episode drops, I have just dropped a new episode or am just getting ready to drop a new episode, which will be covering The Black Mirror. I have a really cool dude that came on the show, and he picked instantly Scott Snyder's The Black Mirror. So his name is Chris Balga. He's a good guy. And yeah, we get into it. Cover that story, that awesome story. You can follow me, the show, that will update you on upcoming episodes. And I try to give like a week head start of, hey, this is the book coming up next episode, so that if you want to refresh and you can read it quick. But on Twitter, it's at TheBatmanBC. And you can follow me on Twitter, but you'll block me. At Lauer_Ryan, Lauer spelled like lower.
All right, sir. And Pete.
You could find me on all forms of social media. That is Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Vero at Pete Illustrated. We have comic book shipping this Wednesday. New comic books are shipping. Shout out to DC Comics and Diamond Collect and Diamond Distributors for making that happen. So life is kind of restoring back to normal. That's a good thing. I know Detective, I think, is maybe 2 weeks away. So I will be reviewing books coming up shortly. I took a nice little hiatus, a little pandemic vacation, as they like to say in these parts of the country. But yeah, just follow me on Twitter. Follow the Straight OG podcast on Twitter at @straight_O_G. Give us a shout out there. Give us anything you want us to talk about, anything you'd like to mention, just interact, just movies. We had a poll up recently about our favorite Robin, and Dick Grayson won by astounding 58%. So take that, ELTD.
Yeah, Rob Myers.
But yeah, but just, give me a shout out. Let's have a talk. Let's joke around. I remember the good old days when we could hang out at a ballpark next to each other drinking beer and eating hot dogs.
Oh, Pete, I hope that time's coming back soon.
I missed it.
I can't wait for that. And everybody, you can always follow me on Twitter. It's at @FinalE33. It's spelled Finale33. If you are on the Batman on Film Facebook page, I'm part of that group. You can always find me there as well. I'm usually commenting something snarky to Bill or to Rick or someone, but... I'm always there also to discuss any Batman related topics there as well. So in closing, for myself, Pete Vera, and Ryan Lauer, again, this is Eric Holzman. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good night.
Peace.